This is the month of November. As a matter of fact, we're creeping right up on Turkey Day. Yep, Thanksgiving is coming up right on us. But we're going to talk about a few more birthdays. And the first one that comes to mind is, what do you get when I do this? Hi-ya!
I don't know. You've just lost your mind. You've been telling me about
Bruce Lee was born in November on the 27th, and he was a Enter the Dragon, you know, flex.
You know, I hate
guy.
To confess this, but I've never seen a Bruce Lee movie.
Oh man,
I've seen little bits of it. I've seen a Jackie Chan movie.
He was funny. No, it's got to be Bruce Lee. They are ridiculous beyond you can imagine. They dubbed
his voice.
So these
were Hong Kong movies? Is that what they were?
They were the very first ones. Yeah. So they're really fun to watch, actually. Very, very
What's the
fun.
One I should see? Enter the Dragon?
Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
Okay, I'll do it.
Mr. Joe Biden. Yeah, you know that guy? November 20th.
Should have worn black.
So anyway, those are mine. Did you have any of your own? I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. We got it's
somebody important.
On the 26th, anybody my age will remember a TV show. In fact, two TV shows starring somebody named Gene Barry as Bat Masterson.
Oh.
Bat Masterson was a legendary Western gunfighter, almost always on the side of law and order. On TV, he was a good friend of Wyatt Earp, and I think he was. He ended up his life as a sports writer in New York, which I find very funny. You know, Wyatt Earp ended up being a referee in a number of championship boxing matches.
Really?
Masterson was actually a Canadian, and he was fairly well known for dressing like a dandy, you know.
Which is,
you know, in other words, walking stick and fancy clothes. Interesting guy.
Speaking of sports, Joe DiMaggio fits in this bill as well. The 25th.
Mr. Marilyn Monroe?
That would, you know, there it is. Okay. That's not a bad claim to fame where I come from.
For reasons I don't understand, people of professional baseball I knew growing up didn't like DiMaggio, and I don't know why. And I think it was just because he was the original Broadway Joe. You know, later on they called it Broadway Joe.
Right, right.
In other words, he consorted with film stars and Broadway people, wanted to be a celebrity, and they just felt this was conduct unbecoming an athlete. We used to take sports heroes seriously, which was a mistake.
Right.
But anyway, but he was certainly a fine baseball player.
We need someone of consequence. Do you have anybody?
Well, I got lots of people.
Oh, okay.
I'll just mention a few before we talk at greater length. Ferdinand de Saussure was a great French-Swiss linguist who among the pioneers in establishing Indo-European, which is a theoretical language which is the ancestor of Greek, Latin, the German languages, the Celtic languages, the Slavic languages. So he was a great man. De Saussure, born in 1857, born in 1118, Manuel Komnenos, one of the emperors of the Komnenos dynasty in Byzantium. Maybe more interesting to English speakers, John Bunyan, the author of one of the greatest naive books written in English, Pilgrim's Progress, as well as a number of other books. Really a very imaginative Christian writer. There's stories that, you know, he was sort of a roisterer, a big tough guy. He was a blacksmith. And
That's why people get confused, because they think Paul Bunyan is his brother. I'm pretty sure.
Could have been. One day, Bunyan was walking on the Sabbath with a couple of friends, telling dirty jokes, yelling and screaming, half drunk. And a woman leaned out the window and said, "We all know you're gone to hell, but why are you dragging these poor young boys with you?" And he thought about it. And he became a kind of Baptist preacher. Unlike a lot of people who get really serious midlife conversions like this, he never became a bigot. He always figured other Christians were Christian too. When asked to condemn people who believed in infant baptism, because the Baptists were Anabaptists, that is, they believed you should rebaptize somebody who had been baptized in infancy. He refused to condemn fellow Christians over disagreements of that kind.
And he wrote that great book. It's Pilgrim's
Progress. Well, I had
allegory kind of thing.
I was forced to teach it once. And when I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. It's a white hot book. William Blake, the mystical Swedenborgian poet.
Swedenborgian?
Yeah, it's Swedenborgianism is a kind of weird sub-Christian heresy.
Oh.
Swedenborg himself wrestled with angels, did weird things.
And
Blake was clearly a nut job all the way, but really a wonderful poet. Everybody knows his poem, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night. One of my favorite lines of his goes, The atoms of Democritus and Newton's particles of light, like sands upon the Red Sea shore where Israel's tents do shine so bright. On the one hand, you have materialist physics, Democritus and Newton, although Newton was a bizarre Christian, and then the contrasted with the revelation of the Old Testament. It's really an amazing condensation. Anyway, so we have Blake.
Yeah.
So here's somebody right up your line.
Yes.
Berry Gordy.
Oh, right.
Tell me about Berry Gordy.
He was a guy who produced records. And well, didn't he start out like the whole soul kind of movement thing?
Yeah, you know, he was a songwriter.
It's a little before
my time. He wrote,
you know,
Lonely Teardrops, the great Jackie Wilson hit, Lonely Teardrops. He wrote that and wrote a number of songs from very early on. He discovered Smokey Robinson and the Miracles and promoted them and co-wrote a lot of songs with them. And then, of course, you know, when I was a college student, way back, as one fictional character says, in the time of the Punic Wars, the whole Motown thing. That was Berry Gordy.
Yeah,
Diana Ross and the Supremes came out of this movement, the Four Tops.
Yeah.
Anyway, he seems to have been a hardworking businessman, and both Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson, for that kind of business, they seem more talented.
Okay, listen to this.
Okay.
Do you know who that is? Yes, the true and great American, Jimi Hendrix. That's his guitar solo from Woodstock. You remember Woodstock, don't you?
Alas. I almost went. I was invited to go to Woodstock, and when I saw the people I knew who were going there, who were frankly a bunch of chumps, I decided not to go. Instead, I ended up going to the free Rolling Stones concert in Altamont, where there were four homicides. Much more interesting.
I guess.
Much more interesting.
He played the guitar upside down, so left-handed, with the strings still remaining in their original right-handed position.
Right.
Very interesting.
Okay. My father once caught me listening to a Dizzy Gillespie album, and I said, but Dad, Dizzy can play things nobody's ever heard before. And he said, but are they good? Is it music? It doesn't, just because it's new doesn't mean it's good, much less better. I can't stand Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
I never have, and even at the time when he was, you know, he was God on Hot Wheels in pop music, I couldn't stand it. He could never play the same riff twice.
That's
not music.
I suppose.
Somebody in music who I do admire, who's a great guitar picker, is Merle Travis. You probably don't remember Merle Travis.
That rings a bell. Wasn't he the stuttering guy?
No. That's Mel Tillis. Merle Travis is considerably older than Mel Tillis. Travis was, I believe, a West Virginian. He was a traditional musician. When the folk revival came along, the record company said, Merle, we want you to make a folk song. And Merle explained, you can't just make a folk song. Folk songs come from the people. Merle will pay you to make a folk song. Hmm. And so some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. I heard him once interviewed, and somebody asked him, do you resent Tennessee Ernie Ford making so much money? And he said, not me. He said, every time I look at those checks that go into the bank, he said, I say, God bless Tennessee Ernie. It was actually quite a clever song. He did a lot of very good songs, including a version of Long Black Veil. But he was an excellent sort of folk country performer.
Here's a guy from history that you might know that you could probably give me a little lesson on. 1694, his name was Voltaire. What do you know about Voltaire?
One of the most evil men in the past 500 years of history.
Really?
Dr. Johnson, who was one of the best public intellectuals, you might say, during this period, loathed him and I think sort of devoted his life to attacking Voltaire. Voltaire, everything for him was reason, sweet reason. He himself was not a reasonable person. Oh. He was a filthy speculator in currency. He was, there's nothing good, other than he had a very beautiful French prose style. Hmm. That's about all I can, faithless to his friends, faithless to the King of Prussia who befriended him. him, a thoroughly rotten person whose ideas are subversive and corrosive.
What was his claim to fame? Why does everybody think, oh, it's Voltaire? You get a bust of Voltaire on your desk.
Every cliche of the Renaissance and Enlightenment, especially every anti-Christian cliche in the world can be traced to him. Also, brilliantly funny. Brilliantly funny. Oh. With a great French prose style and a great sense of humor, he had great talent, which he turned to nothing but destructive
purposes.
See
the guy who said God is dead?
No, that's Nietzsche. Of course, for evangelical Christians and Christians of all varieties, C.S. Lewis's birthday on the 29th should be celebrated. Probably no one did more in the past 75 years to make Christianity accessible to thinking people, to educated people.
Sure.
He was a great apologist and not a bad fiction writer, not a bad poet.
What'd you think of Chronicles of Narnia?
You know, I read it to my children twice. It's not my favorite of Lewis's books. He wrote it too fast, I think.
Oh.
It's good. It's a little thin. I think the so-called Perelander trilogy, especially the last book, That Hideous Strength, I think is his best book. Best piece of fiction.
Right.
My children loved him, and he has a great impact on people because a very methodical, logical, clear mind.
Yeah.
So books like Mere Christianity or The Problem of Pain or the Miracles books introduce many thinking people to which is not snake handling and insanity, but a Christianity that makes moral sense and makes sense out of the universe.
Screwtape Letters. Now that's not fiction, is it? That's the real deal. He talked to demons, didn't he?
It's certainly a fictionalized portrait of reality.
Okay, Screwtape, yeah,
that's
my favorite.
A wonderful book. Moving right along to the last day of the month, three great men, quite different type. Gregory of Tours wrote A History of the Franks. He himself was more or less a Roman, and he writes this history of the Frankish peoples who took over Roman Gaul. And they were a bunch of filthy, unwashed savages bashing each other's skulls in. And it's a very powerful book of the early Middle Ages in which he himself realizes that he really should have better Latin, he should know more, but it's getting very difficult to have that kind of knowledge. He's a real testament to what happens during a dark age. Jonathan Swift was also born on the 30th, one of the greatest masters of English literature, somebody who we think of as a children's writer, but if there's one book I wouldn't give to children, it's Gulliver's Travels. It's the last part of Gulliver's Travels, one of the most pessimistic, depressing pieces of literature ever written.
Okay.
You end up hating the human race when you read it, which is, by the way, comes close to Swift's own feeling, a feeling he described himself in his tombstone as his savage indignation.
Ooh.
Which he was a man of great probity and great character, one of the most attractive figures in English literature. His love letters, for example, are very much read.
You know, when you said Frankish, you know what that reminded me of? Frankenstein. Do you know who played Frankenstein? Yes, it was Boris Karloff.
No, he plays the monster.
Well, yeah. Frankenstein monster.
Frankenstein creates.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, please.
Oh, Frankenstein, yeah.
It creates the monster.
Oh, right.
When I was a kid, we always said, well, that's Frankenstein. No, Frankenstein's the doctor. That's the monster.
A misnomer, a mistake on my part. Okay, what does this remind you of?
Moulin Rouge, yes.
Remember the painter dude? Henri Toulouse-Lautrec.
Toulouse-Lautrec, yeah.
The 24th he was born as well.
Huh. Well, an interesting little painter. Also on the 30th, Theodor Mommsen. Mommsen was considered to be the greatest ancient historian in his day. That is, late 19th, early 20th century. Interestingly, Mommsen won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1902. Can you imagine an ancient historian for his history of Rome winning the Nobel Prize for Literature? He's a very beautiful and powerful writer and indicative of the level of German scholarship and German literary activity in the late 19th and early 20th century. A major figure.
See if you can guess this one now. Come on, you've got to get this. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Is that Dick Clark?
Dick Clark was born in the 30s.
That's the theme song from American Bandstand.
You danced on American Bandstand, didn't you?
No, you know, I was a terrible dancer. I know you'll find this hard to believe.
I know.
I reached a peak of dancing when I was about 13 because I was going to rural dances with farmer friends of ours. And so I learned the schottische and the polka.
Polka.
And they do the butterfly, one girl on each arm. That was a nice dance.
Oh.
But.
Gives me an idea.
Get that look out of your eye. Huh?
Okay. Here's another one. There were four guys. I think there was four, but mostly the three guys. And one was kind of a guy who toted a cigar. The other guy could play piano really well. He was kind of Italian. And the other guy said absolutely nothing, wore a funny hat and a blonde hair. That's the guy I'm interested in. Do you know who I'm talking about?
We're talking about the children of Mrs. Minnie Marks.
Mm.
That is, Julius Marks, a.k.a. Groucho.
Yes.
With his cigar. Chico.
Chico.
The false Italian. There's one of the movies where Groucho is really a veterinarian. He's pretending to be a doctor. And Chico says, since when are you a doctor? He says, since when are you Italian? And
boom.
Of course, Harpo. Then there was Zeppo, who was in on their stage show. And some of the he plays the straight man, you know, like the lover boy. But he made enough money and preferred to spend it gambling.
Oh.
Then there was Gummo. What I have no idea what happened to Gummo. But Harpo was the great silent comic, played
awesome.
The harp.
Funny.
Had the goofy look on his face. He started reading his reviews at one time and so started taking himself too seriously that he was the next Charlie Chaplin. He was the next Buster Keaton.
Oh, boy.
So he's making a movie with I think the Mankiewicz brothers. And so Harpo was not doing anything. And so Herman Mankiewicz, the writer, says, Harpo, come on, let's move. We've got action. What are you doing? And he says, I'm trying to figure out my motivation.
Mm.
And Herman Mankiewicz, a very funny comic writer, and like the Marx Brothers, New York and Jewish, said, Your motivation? You're a dumb Jew who looks down at the sidewalk and picks up a gob of spit thinking it's a quarter. That's your motivation.
Oh, man.
And we'll end on that happy note.
Today has been my birthday, and tonight I should be glad. But you weren't here to share it, and inside I hurt so bad. I didn't want your present, just your kiss and company. Your lips to softly whisper, happy birthday to me. But I came home all by myself and lit the candle. Made a wish for you and love that used to be. Package that I bought myself.